You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We are going to kick things off the way we normally do, by borrowing a couple words from the world of finance and asking our panelists to go long and short. That is, bet on or against some topics in the world of news and business. And this week, we have Gillian White, Senior Associate Editor at The Atlantic, and Marketplace's own Jed Kim. Welcome to you both.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So I think let's start with you, Jed. This is your first time on Long and Short. What do you have for us? What's your long?
Very excited. I am long on GMOs.
Really?
Yeah. It's very controversial, but it's not something that I think we're going to stop talking about for a long time.
Tell me why. Like, I think a lot of Americans are freaked out by genetically modified food.
Not just Americans, Europeans too. The whole idea of monster crops that we're genetically engineering and they're going to take over the world, it's just something that people fear. But looming above all of this is the projections that by 2050, we're going to be at a world population of more than 9 billion people. You know, how are we going to feed all these people? There's going to be less land that we can plant on. So there's just a lot of uncertainty.
And so genetically modifying some crops does what? Increases their yield? Makes it easier to feed more people with them?
Yeah, it makes some of them more resistant to fungus or pests, things like that.
Gillian, where are you on this? Are you one of those people who looks at labeling and says, oh, God, I'm not eating a GMO?
You know, I am one of those people who really tries to drum up the ability to care a ton about it, but just doesn't. Also, I feel like there's some other issues that we have with the things we're consuming, like Cheetos and Twinkies. And, you know, it's not like we're exactly eating the healthiest things in the first place. So,
Gillian, tell me about your long.
So my long is one that I think generally a lot of people can get behind. I'm behind greater access to credit, but more specifically, greater access to credit for low-income Americans. So I wrote a story this week that was about how when someone is unemployed, access to a credit card that is 10% or more of their annual income can give them about 3 extra weeks to search for a job. And that results in them finding better jobs at a pay level that is either exactly what they were making before or slightly higher with at more productive and bigger firms. All of these things that, you know, just a little access to credit and not even necessarily using their credit cards gives them. It just gives them a little bit of a safety net. And that's kind of a big deal because there was a recent Fed survey that found that 39% of households that earn less than $40,000 a year didn't have a credit card.
Huh.
Yeah, and for households that earn more than that, that number is much lower. It's lower than 20%. So it's just the access to the safety net gives people the ability to live their lives and kind of boost their financial health in a way that poorer Americans who probably need it more don't have.
But isn't there some risk? I mean, we're now, what, 8 years out from the destruction of a massive credit bubble that people could be pushed toward debt that they cannot pay off and that hangs over them?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think part of the reason that people fear access to credit, especially for lower income Americans, is the fear that they'll get themselves into these cycles of debt, right? But by withholding access to things like credit card, we're not necessarily preventing that. We're actually pushing people towards more dangerous, more high interest loans, mm-hmm. things like payday lenders, where they get stuck in a cycle of debt anyway at
right.
higher prices.
Yeah.
The issue is there is no good solution right now. There are no banks who are saying, here's $200 or even $2,000 at a completely reasonable rate, and you can borrow this to pay your mortgage or to pay your rent during a period where, you know, maybe your income is a little volatile. That doesn't exist.
All right, let's go to short. Jed, what are you short?
I am short on Captain America being a Nazi terrorist.
What? Okay, the what? But I'm not a Marvel person, so you're going to have to back up and explain
this
to me.
All right, so Marvel Universe, you know, one of their flagship characters.
Captain America. Wildly profitable. Okay.
It was announced this week that in one of their new comic storylines, it's going to be revealed that he is and always has been a double agent of this super evil organization called Hydra, which I think was a Nazi organization
wow.
at one point. And so, you know, this is probably the most transparent ploy to sell books and shock readers that, I don't know, I've heard in a long time. The Marvel Cinematic Universe alone, you think of all the movies that come out these days, they're all Marvel. They've made, I don't know, some estimates put it at about $20 billion worldwide just for box office, not even DVD sales.
Yeah, I mean, I am with you on this. I am with you on this. People love Captain America, but because he's supposed to be the pinnacle of morality and patriotism and all these other things, and I do not think that anyone can stand or stomach the idea of him secretly being a Nazi.
I mean, I like the idea of him being a little dark because, to me, he's a little too shiny and nice. But this is this is kind of pushing it.
Jillian, what are you short?
So I am short making fun of millennials for living at home. And I know this is going to be so controversial. But Pew recently put out a study that said almost a third of young adults, so that's people between the ages of 18 and 34, are living with their parents or have lived with their parents at some point during that period.
I mean, as a Gen Xer, I enjoy making fun of millennials. I feel like it's one of the few benefits of being in Generation X. Mm-hmm. You know, things have not been the best for us. So if I can put a little superiority over my younger brothers, I feel great about that. But, you know, okay, fine. We'll just disagree, Jillian.
I mean, there are lots of reasons to make fun of millennials. I'm just saying this particular one, I think maybe we should ease up a little bit. You know, there are a lot of millennials who are living at home so that they can get their finances on better footing before they move out so they don't end up, you know, racking up tons of credit card debt. A lot of people have student loans. Some people are staying home and helping their parents out. You know, let's just be a little nicer.
But what will we make fun of them for?
Truly a host of other things.
True.
Whatever you want.
Jed Kim from Marketplace, Jillian White from The Atlantic. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.